You are listening to episode 93. And I also would like to introduce today the Okiki Video Bootcamp. Yes, I will be launching a course, which I will have a wait list in the show notes. And I will be launching some group coaching as well. I know there has been a lot of requests lately of people wanting to learn how can they create content for their own brands. And so I'm looking forward to bringing you along in the journey with that. If that's something that you've wanted to gain skills and techniques on, this will be for you. You'll learn systems on how to create content effectively and efficiently and have more time for yourself in the process while reaching your clients. Again, you can find the information for the Okiki Video Bootcamp in the show notes below. On today's episode, I get to interview the owners of Lavender Smiles Daycare, Naomi Sharma and Brianna Dode. And the amazing thing about these two is that they are really innovating in a space where a lot of people are afraid to venture, and that is because they are creating an autism-friendly daycare. And we're going to talk about that journey and the fact that they had to overcome a lot of different challenges to make that dream come true and really be helpful to so many families. They really reflected on the needs of their community in being energized and imaginative and open to this type of care. And they want to advance daycare services, especially for this community, for kids with autism, for kids with special needs, by providing medically trained staff and really meeting the youngsters where they're at. So if you are enjoying the Okiki podcast, be sure to leave a like and rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And let me know, how are you enjoying this podcast and the content, and how is it connecting with you? And also, this episode is brought to you by Okiki Consulting, where we empower brands to tell their stories through video content. So whether it's videography, video editing services, or a video content strategy, we are able to offer all of that in English and French. If you'd like to learn more, connect with me at okikiconsulting.com. And now on with today's episode. Welcome to the Okiki Podcast, where we make inspirational people known. Brought to you by your host, Fionn O'Brien. Podcast, and I am so excited for our special guest today. If you could introduce yourselves.
My name is Brianna.
And my name is Naomi.
Yeah. We own Lavender Smiles Daycare.
And something is very unique and special about this daycare. That's one of the reasons that I actually got talking with you ladies. We met at the ABEX Awards last year, and please tell us why this is a unique and special place.
So the daycare that we run is actually for our kids who are neurodivergent. We definitely specialize in kids with autism, and we just want to create a space that's warm and welcoming for them.
For sure. And yeah, I'd like to know about both of your journeys. By the way, this is probably my first podcast where I'm interviewing two people. No, I had another one, but where I'm interviewing two people at once who are equally involved in the project.
Okay.
Yeah, the other one person was talking a lot more, but this one is both of your stories. So just wanted to know about you and your backgrounds, and like, was this something you both grew up wanting to do, or did it kind of just fall upon your path as time went on?
I personally have always been in healthcare, and that sort of snowballed into medical child care. We met working at a medical children's care home, and we decided to just kind of run with the idea of a special needs daycare after realizing that there was a real need for it. Mm-hmm. So it's always been between healthcare and childcare for myself.
Right, for sure.
For me, it kind of just happened.
Yeah.
When I moved here, I knew I wanted to work in healthcare. Mm-hmm. So I started looking for jobs, and I stumbled upon adults who needed care. And I was just like, okay, let's try this. Yeah. And from adults, I went into kids, and I was like, this is what my calling is. This is what I need to do. And funny enough, while we were working, we were joking, and we were just like being like, oh, like, what if our kids, like, instead of going to school, wanted to stay at home? What would that look like?
Right.
And they were like, that's a really good question. So we looked at daycares for them and realized there's nothing out there. And that just stayed with us, and we just could not let it go. And we really just started as a joke, like, and then after that, the next day, we were like, hey, so are you thinking about the same thing I am thinking about? And she's like, yeah, and then, yeah, that's how it happened.
Been talking
about that idea.
Yeah.
Might actually be a good one.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. And you talked about even doing medical childcare and, like, that journey. So was that something you guys had to get a degree for? Was it a certificate? Or, like, what was the process of even entering that field? Because, again, it's so, like, specific and unique.
I think it's a combination of things. So mm-hmm. I went and got my diploma as a continuing care aide. Mm-hmm. So I was working with seniors most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had childcare experience. So mm-hmm. it was able to cross over.
Right.
The things that we were taught in school with senior care, some, you know, it could be sort of transferred over to children to some degree.
Yeah.
And then there was just a need for medical childcare of some sort.
Right, right. Yeah, and then you said for yourself, you just kind of fell into it as well.
Yeah.
That area of care.
For me, it was all experience. Everything came from experience, because I got just a personal care certificate, mm-hmm. and it was really good for me to get, but mm-hmm. the majority of knowledge that I accumulated was all from work and being hands-on with our clients. So, because, like, everybody's so unique, everybody's need is just so unique, mm-hmm. you really got to know the person in order to, like, give them the proper kick.
Individualized care.
Yeah, so that, I guess, feeling drawn to individualized care and really look at the uniqueness of the individuals you're working with. And yeah, another thing that drew me to these ladies is I have a brother with autism. And so I was just, like, astounded that people are like, you know what, we want to focus on this group, because that's definitely a group that, as you both know through your experiences, underserved, even though there's more awareness about it now, there's still a lot of room for growth. So when did you launch this daycare? And what was, like, the biggest obstacle you both had to overcome in that process?
We started in 2021.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest obstacle for us was the government wasn't ready for us.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep, the government wasn't ready for us.
Interesting.
Yeah, because this is a group home.
Right.
This is not a center.
Uh-huh.
The government, I feel like, is more prepared for an inclusive center rather than a home-based setup. So
yeah, there aren't many resources within the government for childcare providers to access to get more knowledge on special needs, mm-hmm. especially medical. Mm-hmm. And then there was a couple added things as well, where typically the government will have one person be the licensee. So for this case, we have NAMI being the licensee. Mm-hmm. But although we're equal within the company, like, I'm not recognized by the government. So part of that is just because we are so equal in the position. But another part of that is because we're an actual corporation. Mm. So we're not just a random person opening the daycare, we're a business.
Right.
So that has had quite a few struggles where they're just not recognizing it as a business because they don't have experience with that.
Yeah, it's a lot of interesting nuances to that, because, like, not recognizing it as a business, but it is a corporation.
Yep.
I'm also intrigued by this one licensee thing when you guys are a partnership, essentially.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a very interesting challenge to work through. And then you mentioned not recognizing, like, the status of, like, what this is, because I know you guys recently got to be in a campaign to advocate, actually, for more funding towards daycare. So
yeah.
I was curious, how did that link happen in spite of the, I guess, the challenges around labeling? Maybe is that a fair way to say?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was that we did stand out, even just as a group family childcare home.
Yeah.
So our daycare is set up a little bit more uniquely. We have different features. We have themed rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not in a bragging way, but the daycare looks nice as well. It's not
mm-hmm.
just in somebody's basement, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so the government does recognize that.
Right.
So I personally think that was the biggest thing that kind of drew them towards us.
Yeah.
Because they didn't contact us knowing that we were a special needs daycare.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the company that was hired to shoot the campaign
right.
is actually from Regina.
Okay.
So they were looking for people in Regina. Didn't work out for some reason, and they were like, oh, Saskatoon, and they contacted a couple people, but then one of us was our daycare, and they were like, yep, you guys are the one that we're gonna, because, like, I think when they called, they asked about the daycare and what
mm-hmm.
we do, and
right.
I think they just liked what they heard,
mm-hmm.
and because, like, we really do take a therapy approach here. We don't
right.
just take it at, oh, come here, we're gonna babysit, and, you know, you get to go home. We really do work. We work on life skills, talking skills, and
independence.
Yes, independence, and just even being around other kids, how that might look like for you, you
yeah.
know? So, yeah, I think that they liked what they saw.
Interesting. Yeah, I do want to actually circle back to, like, what you both brought up of, like, what initiatives did you take to create your unique brand in this space? Like, other than the fact that it's neurodiverse focused, just some of the things you talked about, like, the uniqueness of the rooms, the programs that you offer itself. Like, can you elaborate on that for the audience? Like, what is that unique experience you're trying to create for the individuals themselves so that they can thrive as well?
Something that's very common that we noticed is a lot of the daycares have a routine.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the centers have a routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally normal. But it might not be so normal for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
mm-hmm.
routines are hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have either visual cues or verbal cues given multiple times
mm-hmm.
before the actual stuff is even happening, you
mm-hmm.
know? And that can be a lot on a person.
Yeah.
So you need to have a setup for them to be free and flexible and be like, okay, you don't feel like doing art? That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to. You have a space where you can go and relax.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the time, centers and daycares don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So we focused on that.
Right.
And we were like, we want to create a space that is just open. And
nice.
You can climb on anything, you can touch anything, you can do whatever you feel like. If you want to lay in the middle of the floor and sleep, go for it.
They do.
We do. We
right.
won't stop them. We
right.
won't be like, hey, we have a sleep area, come here, come
right.
sleep here. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just different for everybody, and we just want to welcome everybody that we can.
Mm-hmm.
I think that also goes into our desire to provide such individualized care.
Right.
So when we set up the daycare, we tried to just think of as much as we could, of every
right.
little need, every...
Yeah.
So we have some toys that are more advanced, that take some,
mm-hmm.
like, organization and thought. Then we have, you know, moving sort of activity toys in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We have just things that are just for touch, texture.
Yeah, yeah.
We have had scented things in the house, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when we have a kid come, we have, even though it's structured in the house, it's sort of like a blank canvas,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of pick where you want to go.
Right.
So I think that that has really helped us be able to cater to so many different kids too.
Hmm.
So that's been helpful.
I think when we also, like, go outside
yeah.
into the world,
mm-hmm.
we look at things differently.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just look at, oh, educational toy, or oh, there's a book. We look at things visually, sound, smell, touch.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we go to a dollar store, we're like, oh, that feels good to touch. Oh, that's so shiny. Like, we look at things like that.
Right.
And we have stuff from Walmart, from
yeah.
dollar store, from Amazon, from people's houses.
Yeah,
because we're like,
say, from the recycling
bin.
Yeah. Like, sensory.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we
yeah.
really open ourselves to everything possible and everything that we can feel and be like, oh, I think somebody will like this. I think.
And it might take 10 kids and nobody's interested, and then that 11th kid comes and they
love
that
it.
Toy.
Yeah.
Right. So you're
like,
really
oh,
thinking
why.
Of who will enjoy that thing in the future. So a lot of love and care goes into even the process of how you built this place. That's another thing too. Do you notice anything that has been surprising to you in terms of, like, again, you're dealing with neurodiverse children, and of course we're all individual and unique, but even more so with how they learn. What has been interesting of, like, trying to have that much individualized care at the same time? Is there ever any kind of clashes even between kids because of the differences of how they think and maybe the routine that makes sense to one versus the other, and like how have you had to like navigate some of those nuances even?
I think it for sure is tricky in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
because each kid is so different. We do have to figure out how they communicate, how they interact with the environment. And something that's really interesting that we've seen is once those children settle a bit more, they really do start to mix together.
Yeah.
And they do start to community, but it takes like 6 months to a year before they start really interacting with each other.
Interesting.
It can be tricky. There are definitely days where everybody clashes.
Yes. And honestly, during that time, we just let them have their space and manage as much as we can.
Right.
Because we don't want to burn ourselves out or give them stress trying to like be like, hey, come on, stop doing this or whatever. Like, you know, we just want to be like, okay, you need some space. We'll create a space for you where you can be alone,
mm-hmm.
or where you can do whatever activity feels good for you.
Right.
That's what we try to do, is manage more so than stopping or like being like, oh, let's bring you guys together. Or management is more so our goal in terms of.
Yeah. Like, for example, like we do have some toys in the house that are, you know, nice,
mm-hmm.
and they're still in good shape. But then we do have some kids that come into the house that are very orally fixated.
Yeah.
Right.
And they chew on everything.
Right.
So those toys don't really work for that group, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have toys in the house that are
just for
chewing and that they're allowed to break.
Yeah.
We have kids that just want to break things.
Yes.
So we have some toys that if you're trying to rip something off of a wall, here, take this and rip that.
Yes,
this
is deer punching.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's worked really well.
Yeah.
We definitely
rely
on having destruction toys.
Yes.
I think that's a really fair point for, like, you know, especially in like the autism community, like destruction toys, having like space for that, that's definitely real. So I know from experience, like, there's some things that are going to be destroyed and then some things that are going to be okay. And yeah, I think that's really awesome that you guys have picked up on that. I also wanted to ask too, like, when you got into this space and wanted to do this work, did you see anyone else doing what you're doing? And if not, where did you kind of find the resources to develop this? Like, are there any mentors or any kind of resources that you had to access and find to really try and expand what you're trying to do, and resources, and are there any kind of goals as to some sort of maybe other certifications or other things because of your passion for this space that you may both want to go after?
The issue was that there weren't any other daycares.
Yep.
So we did a little bit of research when we started the company, and we just contacted close to 100 daycares across the city, both centers and private, licensed, unlicensed, all of that.
Wow.
And we just sort of put a little bit of a scenario in, you know, this is kind of child that we're looking for care for, and we didn't have a single daycare
that was
open to talk to us in terms of interview, let alone bringing the child to visit the daycare.
Yeah.
They weren't even open to talk to us over the phone and be like, yeah, sure, we can at least do a phone call interview and see, everybody was just like, oh, sorry, that's too much. Sorry, we can't.
Yeah, we don't accept children with autism. Like, some of them were very overt about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe from some experiences they had and they weren't
prepared for. Something that I wasn't expecting was the city wasn't really welcoming of us. There was a lot of hate in the beginning. While we were setting the daycare, we weren't even open. We already got reported to the government.
Wow.
We weren't even, like, open. Our house was a mess. We weren't even open. We weren't even taking interviews, nothing. We were still working on our business plan.
Really?
Yep.
And because we had communicated outwardly on social media
that this was your goal.
Yeah, that we were going to come soon. We're going to open soon. And we got reported.
People were saying that they had an issue with having so many kids come together that had special needs. And then we had some people saying that we're taking advantage of the special needs community by putting them all together and asking for money for it.
Yeah.
That was tricky and that was frustrating. And there wasn't anywhere for us to turn to because, as Nami said, the government wasn't ready for anything like this. There weren't any other daycares that we could contact.
Right.
You know, there just weren't organizations that were
in place for this kind of thing.
To set up a special needs daycare. It's just
and
not
like,
there.
Maybe there's somebody out there and
right.
we just missed them somehow. Because now that we're actually in the business, we have come across people, like Bree mentioned before, that a lot of our kids come from therapy. They're like, they're sent to us. And now, like, people know about us and they're like, oh my God, yes, this is so needed. And I'm so glad you guys exist, and maybe, I don't know what happened in the beginning, but nobody was ready for us, and nobody was welcoming. And
yeah.
I'm sure there's some people out there, but we didn't come across them.
Wow.
We did, like, a lot of our research online,
mm-hmm.
and we just sort of took our ideas and our sort of experience from a childcare home
yeah.
and brought that in.
Yeah.
And then now the resources are coming now. Now we've connected with Autism Services, we've connected with
FASD.
Yeah, FASD, a few different therapies around the city.
Yeah.
And now we're getting that support that
you
would have really benefited us.
Yeah.
But it just wasn't there
yeah.
at that point.
Yeah. That is really fascinating to me. Personally, because of my personal experience and families I know with people with autism in their family, anything, they're always looking for resources and they're always looking for places for care, especially if some of the kids can't spend like a full day at school.
Yeah.
These parents have full-time jobs and they're like, who can we give this child to help us? And it's not always easy to find the care. So I am genuinely surprised by that kind of backlash and what the worry was about, really. I think once there's people willing, I think it's a good thing to fill. And yeah, they're probably right that you are filling a gap that they weren't willing to fill. So it's interesting. Maybe there's more competition in this daycare space than I'm aware of. And maybe people got a little rustled by the fact that, hey, they're going to have a market. But at the same time, there's a need. And yeah, there's a definite need. So it's
mm-hmm.
it's awesome that, you know, you guys are willing to step into that need. And it sounds like not just like they're seeing it from a financial perspective, but you guys actually took time to think of like, what do these kids need? Like, you're really showing up every day trying to create that unique experience for them, which I think is really special. And so because you guys have that support in the beginning, like, what kind of kickstarted you to get to the place where you're like, okay, we're here, we're ready to have you guys come in, to the point where people notice enough to be like, oh, like, we want to see what they're doing and follow through with them. Yeah.
Knowing the fact that nothing like this exists,
yeah.
and there's such a big need, and we just gotta go through it. Like, we just gotta push through it. If we get hate, if there's no support, we really don't care, because
mm-hmm.
we know the kids need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we just went for it. We were like, we're gonna set up our daycare how we imagined. Whatever love we got, we're gonna give it out there. And I think
yeah.
people saw it, and
yeah.
people were like, yes, you guys, we're here for you. Because, like, we really did put in a lot of effort into setting this daycare. We thought about things, and once people came in, they were
yeah.
like, yes, I will definitely send my kid here. Like, we would love that for our child. And we're like, yes, we will love it too. And it just kind of happened from there.
Yeah,
yeah,
for
we had
sure.
to just do a lot of self-advertising
yeah.
to get from no support to more support, and just be really persistent and, yeah, ignore the people that were against
yeah.
it, and then
yeah.
grasp onto the people who were ready to support us.
Wow, what an inspiration. You would think that this very good thing would just be, like, open arms, so I'm really happy to hear about your resilience and your persistence to, like, push through that, knowing that there is a big goal. And since you guys opened till now, how much has it grown, and what would be your goals for this, like, 5 years from now, even, or maybe 3 years from now? Like, where do you hope that this can really go?
We've been able to connect with professionals around the city, and I think that's been a really big bonus for us. So we've been able to have some of our children's therapists come in and do their therapy here.
Wow, wonderful.
And that's really helpful for families, because they don't need to come and pick up their kid, drop them off, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
it's been really good to connect with professionals.
Awesome.
A lot of help.
Yeah, and definitely in the next couple years, we will be partnering with a few of them, so
awesome.
That they can just, all the kids who are here at the daycare, they just have access to a therapist.
Yeah.
And they can just, you know, come whenever.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Just making, again, those networks easier. Do you also connect with organizations in, like, other countries too, to see what they're doing, or even just to get their resources, like US, or, like, just to kind of see what's, I guess, up and coming in the space for autism? Is there any kind of conferences or things like that happen?
We haven't been aware of events and sort of organizations,
mm-hmm.
but those were the resources that we used in the beginning, was
yeah.
looking at
mm-hmm.
special needs daycares that were in other places.
Yep.
Right.
Because, like, honestly, even in Canada, they're very limited.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
so you have to look far away.
Oh, to find.
Yeah.
So you found just
yeah.
a few in the country, even.
Yeah.
In the country, yeah.
Wow.
There weren't so many.
Yeah.
We're openly saying that, yes, we welcome all kinds of people and all children. Just come, and our doors are open.
Wow.
Wow. There are not so many.
Wow,
and
wow.
Yeah, honestly, we would love to connect with from people all over the world, and especially our country,
mm-hmm.
because it's just such an amazing thing. I think everybody should be happy that the place like this exists, and we would definitely like to expand eventually and open a center where kids can just come, but we'll see what happens.
I think Nami has a sort of interesting perspective as well, because
mm-hmm.
she's only been in Canada for about 7 years, right?
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so you have a perspective of what childcare and just the way of life is for kids who have special needs or adults who have special needs in a different country, and what sort of is lacking or is good there, you know, and you were able to bring that here too.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have a really like different perspective and a little bit of insight into what it's like in other countries.
Yeah, obviously like over here
mm-hmm.
people are more accepting,
mm-hmm.
but in my country we don't really talk much about it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even come across a single person who needed support, extra support.
Mm.
I did come across one person who got into an accident.
Right.
And was,
right.
I was like, oh, okay, they need extra support. And everybody was very nice. But
mm-hmm.
after a certain point, I noticed that we saw less of them.
Mm.
And they were just more in the house, more so.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, I don't know how our community is, but it wasn't so welcoming, I would say.
Mm.
Versus here, at least people are like, oh, okay.
Like, you visibly see them around.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, and over there, it's not so visible. Like, I've barely ever seen anybody.
Like,
and
I think that says a lot about you, too, right? That you're able to, like, grow up in that environment.
Well, yeah, because, like,
yeah.
I just... I don't know, there's a part of me, like... And I feel like you might even agree, but there's a part of me that... is just very surprised to see we are 2023, and why do we not have things for them? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they breathe, they eat, they see things just like us. Like, what is
it
going on?
It should just
on?
Be part of the...
Yes.
Yeah,
like, you
sure.
know, it's almost like how people are surprised that racism still exists, and, like, we're like, oh, why? It's the same thing. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why do we not have... resources for kids.
Yeah.
Why don't we have enough resources for kids who are not adults, but also not kids?
Yeah.
There's barely anything out there.
Mm-hmm. Because it is challenging. Like, there are challenges to having a daycare like this.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible.
No.
And there is a huge demand, so you can fill up your spaces. And
like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, it's
honestly,
it's weird.
We would, yeah, it's, it really is weird. And we would love, we even, like, talked to a couple of daycare providers, and they were very nice, and they had kids who needed extra help, and,
mm-hmm.
and we would love for people to come to us and talk to us, and we would help them set it up. We would
come
be,
to us for support.
Yeah, like,
right.
we would help them. We would get them, like, organized, because the government process, some, like, one of the problems in Saskatoon that we
mm-hmm.
have noticed is a lot of daycares are scared of the paperwork that the government throws at you for
inclusion.
Yeah, inclusion.
Okay.
Inclusion grant. And
mm-hmm.
it can be intimidating at first, especially for somebody who's not experienced in terms of, like, oh, what is happening? Like, there's so many papers and so many questions. So what's happening?
Yeah.
We were lucky, and we got experience from our previous job.
Right.
So that was easier for us to go through the process. And we were like, oh, yeah, we have done this before. No big deal. But I can see how it can be like, whoa, that's a lot, and I don't even know what to do. We
mm-hmm.
would love to help people. Be like, talk to us. We'll walk you through it.
Because,
you know?
The government does offer a program. So the government offers a grant that's called the Inclusion Grant.
Okay.
And so that's to give kids that have exceptional needs a one-on-one staff
mm-hmm.
at any daycare in the city.
Okay.
So the government has this fund that will pay, you know, close to minimum wage for a staff, which can be hard to get
mm-hmm.
just on those terms.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, they will give you some. But then a lot of our families have noticed that, yeah, like Nami said, they're just not willing to use that inclusion program because it is a process. And you have to take
right.
time out of business hours to do a meeting, to, you know, do a video call, to fill out lots of paperwork, to create a personal care plan.
For that individual.
Yeah. And it's not hard, but it's just a lot. And the government does help, but at the same time, for a person who has just not experienced that, it can be a lot.
Yeah. It's an interesting point you guys brought up. Like, is that something... So it sounds like you're happy to even support other daycares in this and expand the opportunities beyond your daycare to serve this community, it sounds like. Like, you're not trying to hoard anything.
No,
if you could all do this, that'd be great.
Yes.
Is what it sounds like.
It's needed, because while we are here, we only have a limited amount of spots, and some people have transportation issues.
Yeah.
Like, somebody that's on the west side and maybe is of a little bit of a lower income family,
mm-hmm.
they don't have the same resources to get their child over here every day. And then especially if their child has special needs, there are times when the kids just are struggling that day and they have to go home early, or there's just some behavioral issue that's just too much for them that day.
Mm-hmm.
So it poses a lot of difficulties. So if there were some smaller daycares offering more service, just the families would be able to access it. And it would help us too.
Yeah, because like, we also can't accept everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Our hands are also tied in some ways. So, you know, a daycare taking one child, good, you're doing that. I'm happy for you. Please do it. Like,
right.
we want more people accepting children with neurodivergent who are neurodivergent, because there's just a big need. And
right.
honestly,
mm-hmm.
we are happy that this career gives us money, but we are not here for money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We are here because this world needs this.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Like, you know, why wait for somebody else to do it? Just take that step. And that's exactly what we're doing here.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. I feel like I've learned so many interesting things about you both and how you created this business and created this mission, it sounds like, and where you want it to go. And I guess my final question for you both is, what do you value the most about the position that you're in today with this daycare and after all the work that you went to get it to this point?
For me, it honestly, I get my satisfaction just every day of seeing the kids grow. Because so many of our kids have been at other daycares and haven't had, you know, a lot of growth or have actually had a decline.
Right.
And we've had very consistently all the kids come into our care have some form of growth.
Awesome.
And even if it's just, you know, sometimes it's so minor, like just learning to sit at the table and eat.
But it's something.
Yeah, and like, you gotta take that, and it feels really good.
Yeah, I think I feel the exact same. Just knowing that there's a place that exists where they can come and grow and then just have fun. You know, you're playing. Nobody's making you forcefully sitting at a table and
be
eating.
Be yourself.
Yeah, be yourself. Like, we have kids. Like, we have a kitchen area where kids sit and eat,
mm-hmm.
and we don't ever force anybody to be like, hey, come sit, you have to sit. Some of our kids literally sit on the table or standing up, they're eating.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what, I'll take it, because you're eating something that you're not exposed to before.
Yeah.
So if you want to stand and like just stay there and eat, go for it.
Yeah.
I will not stop you. Because for me, even them just being in one spot for eating is a big thing. You know, that's an achievement for me, because I'm like, you don't do it at home or you don't do it at school.
Right.
You're doing it here. I'll take it.
Right.
I'll take that small win, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, honestly, it's just the satisfaction that there's a place that exists like this.
Yeah.
And they're growing.
I think,
so,
too, like,
awesome.
Seeing them become social beings. So many of our kids are so isolated. They don't have friends. Even when they do have interactions, even when they do have interactions with other people, it's not necessarily mutual. And so, as I was saying before, sometimes it takes them 6 months or a year to kind of start, you know, coming together. But when they do, I just, like, Nami and I have cried before.
Oh,
just
so many times.
Seeing the kids in there, just like, they'll just interact with each other.
Yes.
And it's
minor.
They'll just like share a toy or just like give each other a hug. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That is beautiful.
They're finding themselves in community with others.
Yeah.
They're making friends.
Yeah.
And for most of them, it's the first time that
they
ever have.
Wow.
I think a lot of parents that come in here have two major concerns.
Yeah.
One, that they don't eat. And then second, they don't have friends. Or, like, when they play around other people, they just play on their own and alongside other kids, but just doing their own thing. And so when we see eating good and playing with other people, we're like, yes, our job is done. We're good.
Yeah. And sorry, I know I said that was the last question, but I have to ask, what's the feedback you've gotten from the parents, actually, from the kids that have gone through your program, too?
Yeah, it really has been.
All of our families have been so supportive and so grateful and very helpful too. That's that's another thing of resources. Our parents have been one of our resources now. Because they've had many more years of working with their child. You know, they have ideas, they have things, and those ideas we can use for other kids too. That's a really big resource, and so we're really, really grateful for the families that we do have.
Yeah, because, yeah. Like, sometimes we'll just be like, hey, you know, blah, 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 I'm struggling today. Do you have anything for us? Right. And they'll be like, oh, I know, play this song. Or play this video.
Right.
They'll love it. And we're like, perfect. And we do that, and it works.
Wow.
You know, and,
yeah.
Like, it's just small little things, but even
yes.
just going to them for help
mm-hmm.
really just opens all the options.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, our parents.
Yeah.
My parents, for sure.
Parents
yeah.
are amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie and Brianna, for sharing your passion. Like, I'm even, like, more excited about you guys. Just hearing about even how you think and the process of what it really took to bring all this together. Thank you for sharing with the podcast today. And where can people find you if they want to connect with you themselves? Where can we find?
Just Google Lavender Smalls Daycare and we will pop up.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks again for sharing your story
with
me
today.
Sure.
Yeah,
thank
you
so
much.
Thank
you so much.
For having a platform for something like this.
Yeah,
to be shared.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to launch this, so for sure. Thanks again.
Thank you.
So much.